Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what did the Jewish community of Madrid do recently to show solidarity with the Christian communities in the Middle East and Africa? David Hatchwell is president of the Jewish Community of Madrid and vice president of the Federation of Jewish Communities of Spain. Mr. Hatchwell has been a founding member and vice president of the Spain-Israel Chamber of Commerce since 2006 and is a member of the Spanish board of the Perez Center for Peace and also of Friends of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem in Spain. Mr. Hatchwell is a co-founder of ACOM, Acción para la Concordia en Oriente Medio, Action for Harmony in the Middle East, a Spain-based pro-Israel public diplomacy platform established in 2007. Mr. Hatchwell attended a summit of European Jewish communities whose theme was Building Common Answers that was held in Barcelona on June 28th and 29th. The summit was organized by the European Council of Jewish Communities, the Joint Distribution Committee's International Center for Community Development, and the Ronald S. Lauder Foundation. Its aim was to bring together representatives of Jewish communities, professionals in crisis management and emergency preparedness, and experts on geopolitical and social issues to reflect on the situation of the Jewish communities after the events in Toulouse, Paris, and Copenhagen. At the conference, Mr. Hatchwell participated in a panel discussion on radicalization, extremism, and fundamentalism in Europe and their effects on Jewish communities. We spoke with him about the summit and also about the Jewish community of Madrid. Thank you very much for speaking with us, David. Could you tell us first about the European Council of Jewish Communities? What do they do?
Well, the European Council of Jewish Communities basically is a Jewish organization that whose scope is to act in Europe and basically to help foster and develop Jewish life throughout Europe. It's an organization that I've come across over the last 4 years. And frankly, our experience with the ECJC has been extremely positive. It works very much on empowering organizations and doing it in a very professional way, because one of the things that has been missing in Jewish community life is a certain level of professionalism that we all apply to other walks of life and that we should expect also in Jewish communities.
Can you give me an example?
I can give you a few. I'll give you the example of what happened specifically in Barcelona a couple weeks ago. There was a great seminar that took place, organized by the ECJC, and the objective of the seminar was to teach organizations within the Jewish communities, and of course individuals in the organizations, basic things that people should know how to do, that go from basic fundraising to how to take care of our constituents in a more professional way, how to establish platforms for better practice sharing, and all of those things that are much more internal and that many times organizations deal with in a less important manner. So that's what the ECJC has been doing for us and other communities.
So do they mostly work with Jewish communities or do they also work with other associations?
Well, my experience with them has been obviously as the Jewish community of Madrid, so I can definitely tell you that the experience of a community in this case is a very good one.
Do you have any idea how many Jewish communities are members?
No, I don't know how many communities are members, but I can tell you that there are communities from all over the European scene, spreading from Helsinki to communities in Croatia, in Spain, in Poland, so it's pretty varied.
Were there a lot of people at that meeting in Barcelona? Do you have any idea how many? And do you know where they were from?
There were about 150 community leaders, ranging from presidents to different responsibles for various specific areas. And as I said, there were communities from all over the spectrum, from the large ones to the smaller ones. And there was even the head of the Jewish community of Greece, you know, which is very indicative also with everything that is happening in Greece. The fact that he would take the time in order to come to something like this is also a testimony of how much value he believes he can extract from the organization. I spend a lot of my time dedicated to the Jewish world, and the reason why I decided to attend was precisely because of that, because I think that it brings value, A, to be in a place where you have other Jewish community leaders and you can share experiences and talk about things that worry you and that are more global in a sense, and B, also to learn from very, very practical steps that are taken somewhere else in a world where things change all the time. So taking advantage of technology, for instance, in a changing environment is something that should be worthwhile. So exchanging practices, by definition, is something that we view as very positive.
Did people also discuss the specific Jewish issues in their own countries? And is there anything that you found particularly remarkable, something that you would want to mention, anything notable?
Well, I'll give you an example of something that has been part of the dialogue, and I think it's an opportunity for all communities that attended. It is a combination of the most sensitive points where most communities believe that they have to work on. And it's a combination of A, identity, how to strengthen identity within the communities, and obviously that passes through education, and an education that is more encompassing of the different colors of Judaism that we find in our communities. And the second one, the second very important element, is to work with the communities that we're a part of. And I'm speaking specifically about alliances to be formed with different organizations. In countries that have a tradition of being Christian, for example, today there's a natural alliance that is being formed with the Catholic Church. This is something, by the way, that we are engaging in here in Madrid. And it's interesting because we're now celebrating 50 years of the Nostra Aetate Vatican Council II Declaration. And as you know, it represented a new way of how the Catholic Church decided to perceive other faiths, and particularly Judaism. And within this fresh start, 50 years ago, it's taken some time for a much broader part of the church to be part of it. And here in Spain, and in particular in Madrid, we're very fortunate that the leadership of the Catholic Church feels very strongly about the changes of Nostra Aetate. So the Jewish community has also felt that it was a good moment to work on initiatives that show also the solidarity of the Jewish community towards Catholics and Christians. And what better show of solidarity than what we did 10 days ago, which was a solidarity event with the Christian communities of the Middle East and Africa. So we decided to do an event in itself and to show and to denounce publicly the fact that people are silent when there's de facto genocide that is taking place, where there's mass murders and torture and kidnappings and changing demographies. And 20 years from today, people will see that there were never Christians in the Middle East, as happened, you know, with the change also since the 40s with the Jewish communities in the Arab world, with a massive exodus of 800,000 Jews, and you know, people have short memories. So those are the two themes that we worked on mainly that I believe were very important: A, Jewish identity, and B, alliances with the local groups that we're part of.
Talking about the relationship of the church in Spain with the Jewish community and with Jews in general, I know that still there are a lot of people who were educated before democracy came to Spain, and you find a lot of this kind of underlying, I guess, anti-Semitism, people who don't know any Jews, but people who have this kind of preconceived notion about Jews, or who use, let's say, anti-Semitic expressions in the language, things like that. These people are getting older. But I'm wondering about the younger generations and if you think they're inheriting any of this, just from the fact that most people here
don't know Jews, and if they do, they're not aware that they know Jews, because the Jewish community here has always been very reserved, for want of a different word. You know, the Jewish community is not as public as it is in other places.
Let me challenge you for a second, Linda.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. First of all, you're right that the Jewish community has not been so known in Spain, and that's a fact. But I would challenge that it's not a question of not having done efforts over the last decade. It's a question of size. Size matters. And here, this is a small community, and you have to take into account that changes take a certain time to take place. What I told you that happened 10 days ago about the solidarity event with Christians in the Middle East and Africa is something that wouldn't have been done 25 years ago. And it's being done today because there's an understanding that in the 21st century, if you don't communicate, if you're not part of things, then you don't exist. And the Jewish community of Madrid, and I believe that the Jewish communities in Spain, feel precisely that Spain is a very open society, a tolerant place, and we feel very much part of the country and of its institutions, and as such, we do feel that we have a role to play. This is why we celebrate Hanukkah in the streets very openly, and this is why we make sure that at any given opportunity we communicate about what is important to us, what are our holidays, how do we feel proud about what the Spanish government and in the Spanish Congress has done recently with the approval of the nationality for Sephardim. I believe that there's a huge change that is taking place here among Jews in Spain. And again, it's a combination of things happening from within and also being expressed without or out to the outside world. No? So that, I believe, is happening. Secondly, in terms of youngsters versus a more mature part of the population being or not anti-Semitic. Yes, we have lived in a part of the world where for 500 years there were no Jews, and Jews were imagined. And you know, the imagination has a capacity to invent whatever fears we have. And it was not helped for many, many centuries by the Catholic Church. This is a fact. It's not politically correct maybe to say it, but this is just a fact. And the same way that I'm saying that I'm extremely happy and proud to see the changes that have been taking place for the last 50 years in the Catholic Church, today we do have certain elements that are still there, that are dying out also with age, and that are part of a way of perceiving Jews as negative. So if you're from the right, you think that the Jews are communists. If you're from the left, you think that the Jews are capitalists. So, you know, by all sides that want to hate, they'll find a reason to hate the Jews. This is changing because people that travel, and Spaniards have had the opportunity over the last 35 to 40 years to experience a new way of engaging with the world. People that travel and have met Jews understand that Jews are unique in the sense that they're spread all over the world, but there's a certain culture, there's a certain concept of people who that is also accompanied by a religion. Youngsters, in general in Spain, have a problem, and that is that there's a flaw in the educational system in Spain, in my opinion, and that's general. It has nothing to do only with the Jewish issues, but it affects also Jewish issues. So there is what we would say in Spanish, un ramalazo, you know, a certain tendency of not liking something that is different from us, no, as Spaniards. So call it Jews, call it black people, call it homosexuals, call it whatever you would like. And those are things that have to be changed. We need to make sure that this horrible disease called anti-Semitism, and that mutates every other generation, needs also to be fought with some medicine of tolerance. And that's what laws do. We just had a few laws that were passed over the last year also that were very important. One at the level of the Ministry of Education that will make sure that kids at the age of 16 will learn about the Shoah, and not only because of the Shoah being a unique phenomenon in history related to Jews, but also in terms of massive genocide and what does it mean for societies in general. And also another thing that has changed recently is the fact that you cannot poke fun at the Shoah in itself, so making jokes about certain things, the banalization of murder and incitement to violence cannot be tolerated in a modern society. And there's always the ever balance between free speech and obviously protecting someone's right to dignity. No? But ultimately, the society has become much more tolerant. The last three decades have been wonderful. And we hope and will continue to work on the fact that it should remain like that.
At the meeting in Barcelona, you did a presentation which was called Radicalization, Extremism, and Fundamentalism in Europe and Their Effects on Jewish Communities. Could you summarize for us a little bit of what you said?
Well, I was mentioning, you know, from a purely factual basis, a few elements. First of all, that Jewish communities in Europe, except for France and the UK, are small. And there's a certain way of behaving if you're small. Now, even if we're small, it doesn't mean we should not care for and cherish our identity strongly. And by the way, the fact that these communities are strong and in some instances they're suffering a pressure from local anti-Semitism makes people do aliyah in an easier way, and that's part of the environment. The second thing that I said is that we're living also a time of fundamental demographic changes in Europe. And we can be politically correct and not talk about it, or we can just state some facts. And when you look at the fact that Muslim populations in most of Europe are increasing, you should try to understand what it means. And the figures obviously are increasing, and the figures have different conclusions depending on the country that we're discussing. No? In Spain, the Muslim community is a small one. In France, it's a twice or almost 2.5 times the size of the Spanish one from a percentage point of view. And unfortunately, the level of radicalization that there is in today's Muslim community in Europe is very worrisome. Because 25, 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, when Muslims were coming to the European continent in order to find a better future, there was not such thing as a radicalization from a religious point of view. And this radicalization has happened, especially over the last decades, because of a lot of money going into a Wahhabi approach to Muslim education. And that's really a pity, because it makes a lot of Muslim youngsters in Europe feel alienated. They don't feel that Europe is part of their homeland. And they perceive Western and European values as not being theirs. But they're obviously part of Europe. And the problem for me is when people are calling for the destruction of Europe and its values from within Europe. And what I was saying is that in that conference is that it's very important that Jews understand that we live in a continent that has Jewish values, because the Western values are Judeo-Christian. And those are the core values that make us respect the rights of women, the rights of people that have a different sexual orientation, the right of children to have access to education, and the sacrosanctity of human life. And to me, those are basic values that are non-negotiable. And if somebody wants to negotiate those or want to change them democratically, they should know that many Europeans are ready to fight against that. And I think that Jewish communities should stand at the forefront of that fight.
So what were some of the conclusions of the meeting? Was there any decision about actions to be taken?
There were basically a lot of sessions where people were able to engage into Q&A, and because of that, a lot of tough issues were discussed. And the main issues were that you know, we're all in a learning program, because ultimately both lay leaders of organizations or professionals are constantly forming themselves. So there are certain issues that we will need to engage in and we will need to adapt. For example, how do you make the younger generation feel Jewish in a world where, you know, we're all becoming multicolored, and we're very happy, all of us, that that's the case. So instead of fighting against that, we should understand that that's very Jewish as a concept, you know, that we should be a bigger tent where all colors of Judaism and all colors of our many identities are part of that. And we should understand that that ultimately is a very, very Jewish thing.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
No, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to give you some of my opinions. And again, I think that we are living amazing times, because to be born in a generation that has the opportunity to see a world where the difference of opportunities has become smaller is very interesting. It doesn't mean that everyone has opportunities. Alevai, it would be great. But it's true that if you look at a child today in Bangladesh, with an iPhone versus a child in Germany with an iPhone, they have a closer language than what we had at any moment in the history of human civilization. And that, if managed properly and carefully, should be something very, very exciting and positive for the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.